This morning, could we turn to Genesis chapter 37? And we're beginning to read at the verse 1 down to the verse 28. Genesis 37, and starting to read at the verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Cana. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to me, or to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren. And behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said to him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it's well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the field of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them at Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by many knights, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. We know the Lord will bless this reading from his own infallible word. With God's word open, let us ask him to bless the reading of his. As we study the Bible and look at the life story of many of the servants of God, we see in some cases types of our blessed Lord Jesus. The obedience of Abraham in offering up Isaac is a representation of the love of God to us in delivering up his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many more examples. Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale. The Lord Jesus was 3 days in the tomb. In this chapter that we've just read begins the story of Joseph. We know that Reuben was Jacob's eldest son, but Joseph here is the eldest son of his beloved wife Rachel. He, like many eminent men, were of a mother that had long been barren and had to pray that the Lord would give them a son. We think of Sarah. Sarah had to pray and the Lord gave her Isaac. Hannah, she prayed and the Lord gave her Samuel. You know, the name Joseph means adding. The Lord will add to me. And Rachel had a second son and his name was Benjamin. But you know, brethren and sisters, Joseph, as we shall see this morning, typifies our Lord Jesus Christ in many times in his life. I'll only have time this morning to show you some of these aspects of Joseph's life that typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would recommend you in your own Bible study to look and see how in Joseph's life, many a time it typifies the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be a real blessing to your own soul. First of all, we see Joseph in this chapter. We read in verse 2 that he was attending and looking after his father's sheep. And you know, Joseph would take his father's sheep, and he would take them and he would find the best pasture for the sheep to feed. Because if he didn't take the sheep to the best pasture, the sheep would have got weak, the sheep would have been sick, and the sheep would have died. So Joseph, every day that he took the sheep out, he hunted and he looked around for the best pastures where the sheep could feed and where the sheep could grow. But you know, not only did he take them to the best pastures, but you know, as the sheep were eating, he was there to protect them. He protected the sheep from the wild beasts. And other portions of the scriptures were told about lions, were told that there was bears, were told that there's many things that could come and attack the sheep. And I'm sure Joseph, as he looked after his father's sheep, many a time had to protect them against these wild animals. But you know, after a long day, he would take the sheep and he would make sure that the sheep would get safely home. And he would see that the sheep were safely in the fold. You know, I turn to Isaiah 40 and 11. And it tells us about the Lord Jesus. And he says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather his lambs with his arm. You know, in John 10 and 11, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, brothers and sisters, it says in 1 Peter, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us as his sheep the Word of God. And you know, we need to feed on the Word of God. And if we don't feed on the Word of God, we become weak, we become sick, we become so sick that we're not able to walk as we should. And you know, the Lord Jesus, as the great shepherd, He gives us the Word of God. But you know, not only that, the Lord Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know, the Bible tells me that the devil goes about like a roaring lion. And you know, many a time, brethren and sisters, the Lord Jesus has come to our aid, has come to our protection. And you know, it's only when we get to heaven we'll see that many times that the Good Shepherd directed our paths. But not only that, as Joseph made sure his father's sheep were brought safely home into the fold, someday, brethren and sisters, you and I will be brought safely home to heaven by the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we can see here how Joseph's life typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, as we come down the chapter, we're told that Joseph was the well-beloved son of his father. Joseph is seen here as the object of his father's love, a love which surely can be accounted for by the fact that he was the firstborn of his beloved wife Rachel. And because he waited on his father and was a great comfort to his father. You know, when all the other boys in the family went away and went distances with the other sheep, Joseph made sure that he was close by to his father. Joseph obeyed his father. He was a quiet-natured, loving son, quick to obey his father's will, a meek person, a truly well-beloved son. You know, Jacob loved Joseph because he looked after him in his old age. Could I this morning, brothers and sisters, take you to Jordan? In Matthew 3 and 17, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ had just been baptized in Jordan. And the Spirit of God descended from heaven like a dove and landed on the Lord Jesus. And the word came out, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Could we go to the Mount of the Transfiguration this morning? In Mark 9 and 7, Peter, James and John were standing. And a voice came out of that cloud, this is my well-beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Brothers and sisters, just as Joseph obeyed his father, just as Joseph was willing to do what his father wanted him to do, God's Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the obedient Son of God. He came into this world. He came into this world to die for sinners. He came into this world that He might bring us back to God. What a Savior He is. But you know, this morning, brothers and sisters, can I ask you, have you that obedient spirit in your life? Wonder, has the Lord in the past week spoke to you through His Word? I wonder, has He asked you to do something for Him? I wonder, has He asked you to put something right in your life? Have you been obedient to the Word of God? Just as the Savior was the well-beloved Son, we need to be the well-beloved sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. My friend, this morning, we need to have that obedient spirit to our Father in Heaven. But you know, as we look on down this chapter, in verse 5 we see that Joseph brought the message of the dream he had to share with his brethren. And the Bible tells us that they hated him the more. You know, that reminds me of the verse, he came on to his own, and his own received him not. In verse 3, his father made him a coat of many colours. This coat probably suggests his appointment to a position of trust and oversight, for such a garment was the garment of a prince and an heir. And you know, I could just hear the other brethren. The other brethren were saying, why has Joseph got this coat? Surely Reuben should have this coat. Reuben is the firstborn. And the Bible tells us that they hated him all the more. They hated him because of the love given by his father. They hated him because his separation from them. But you know, they hated him because the announcement of his future glory. He told them about the time that they would bow down before him, and they hated him all the more. You know, I turn to John's Gospel in the verse 1-11, and it tells me, he, the Lord Jesus, came unto his own, and his own received him not. The reign and the dominion of Jesus Christ our Joseph has been and is despised and striven against by carnal and unbelieving world, who cannot endure to think that this man will reign over them. The Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But you know, praise God, in verse 12 it says, but, thank God for all the buts in the Scripture, but as many as received him, to them give he power, or the authority, to become the sons of God. Tell me this morning, friend in the meeting, without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, will you be like these men and reject the Saviour? Will you say in your heart, I will not have this man to rule over me? Oh, my friend, this morning, I would plead with you that doesn't know Christ as your Saviour, that you might come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Oh, Joseph was rejected because of his authority. The Lord Jesus Christ was rejected because of the authority that he came as the substitute for sinful man, and how the world hated him for it. But you know, as we go on down this chapter, we read in verse 20, notice how much they hated Joseph. They plotted to kill him. How deliberate and malicious was the plot of his brethren. When the Bible tells us, when they saw him afar off, they conspired to kill him. It was not in the heat of the moment to kill him. It was in cold blood. They could not endure, as we've already said. They could not think of doing or paying homage to Joseph as he revealed in his dream. So they plotted to murder his father's heir and prince. And we read in the Scriptures that they tore the coat from off him, the coat of many colours, and they put him into that pit. They put him down into that pit. You know, in Matthew 27 and verse 1 I read, and when the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. Just as the brethren of Joseph took counsel against him. Over in Matthew we read that the chief priests and the elders, they took counsel to put him to death. Why did they take counsel to put the Saviour to death? Because they couldn't stand for his authority. They couldn't face his authority. And they hated him all the more. You know, if the word, the Bible tells us, if the word hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. The devil and his agents in the world hate the Lord Jesus Christ, and they tried everything to destroy him at Calvary. But praise God, in 1 John 3:8 we read, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. My friend, this morning we can rejoice that our Saviour is the risen, exalted Saviour, and he lives forevermore. Oh, how they hated Joseph, his brothers. They planned to kill him because of the authority that his father gave him. And how the chief priests and elders hated the Saviour because of the authority that he was given from his father. But you know, I'm sure if we could have looked into that pit, it would have been a tearful Joseph in that pit. Because it wasn't strangers doing this to him. It was his own brothers. And you know, tears are precious. And tears have power. Tears are the world's universal language, which everyone understands. Joseph, the tearful brother in the pit. But you know, when I turn to the Scripture, the New Testament, I read three times that the Lord Jesus shed tears. The first one was the tears over Jerusalem. When he looked over Jerusalem and he thought of Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that he wept. Then we read at Lazarus' tomb, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Mary and Martha were brokenhearted, and there at that tomb we read that Jesus wept. The third time was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible tells us his prayers and tears were offered up so that he might be preserved to offer up his person. This he did in order to save you and me. My friend, it was a tearful Joseph in the pit. But you know, we read on in this passage of Scripture that they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Judah said to his other brethren, "Why should we kill our brother? These Midianites are coming past, and Ishmaelites, we could sell them for 20 pieces of silver." And they did so. Again, could we go to the New Testament? And I see Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot goes in to the temple of the chief priests. And I see him holding 30 pieces of silver. He had just sold the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, for 30 pieces of silver. And I see him take that 30 pieces of silver and cast it down the marble floor. And I hear it rattle and I hear a scream from a man with a Christless soul on the way to a crisis of eternity. Judas Iscariot sold the Saviour for 30 pieces of silver. Joseph was sold by Judah for 30 pieces of silver. But you know, in verse 28, we're told that Joseph was taken to Egypt. And you know, when we turn to the New Testament, we can see how the children were being slaughtered when the Savior was born. And Joseph and Mary were told in a dream that they were to take the Lord Jesus as a little baby down into Egypt. But you know, another aspect of Joseph's typifying the Lord Jesus Christ, we see him in prison. The butler and the baker are brought into prison. The butler was pardoned and the baker was condemned. You know, we go to Calvary this morning and there's three crosses at Calvary. On one side was a thief and the other side was another thief. And you know, both the Bible tells us through things in the Lord's teeth. But you know, one of those thieves realized that he needed pardon. And one was pardoned and the other was condemned. But as I said this morning, I couldn't go through. There's many, many more of Joseph's life that typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. But this morning, just finally, I want you to see how Joseph's life typified the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm sure when Joseph made himself known to his brethren, you know, his brethren came down and Joseph was in all his glory. He was in all the refinery. He was sitting on the part of the throne of Egypt. And I'm sure in the back of their minds that his brethren thought that he would have taken something out on them. But you know, he didn't. Because Joseph realized that this was God's plan for his life. And Joseph told his brethren, go and bring my father and bring the whole family down into Egypt. Because of the great famine, there was a danger that the family could have died. And he said, bring my family down into Egypt. And when he brought them down to Egypt, the Bible tells us that he brought them before Pharaoh. And there he presented his family to Pharaoh. He said to Pharaoh, this is my father and my brethren and their family. And Pharaoh welcomed them to Egypt. And he told Joseph to take the best place in Egypt and give it to his family. And Joseph took his brethren and they went to Goshen. Goshen was a good place for their sheep to feed and the best place in Egypt. Did you know, brothers and sisters, one day our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, one day he will take you and me, all who know and loves the Savior, he will bring us into heaven and he will present us before the Father and he'll say unto the Father, Father, I will that thou also whom thou givest me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou givest me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I know, my friend, in that day you and I will see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. And he'll bring us before the Father and he'll say, Father, this is my children that you give to me. And the Father will welcome you and me into heaven and will be ever more with the Lord. Just as Pharaoh welcomed Joseph's family, the Lord Jesus Christ will welcome us. Could I ask you this morning, will you be welcomed into heaven? Or will you be a lost soul? The Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It also says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, this morning, are you a member of the family of God? Can you say that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? Can you say that the Father in heaven is your Father? No, this morning you can. Just in that very seat where you sit, you can say, Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me in your precious blood, and make me fit for heaven. Could I say this morning, if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, someday you'll be presented before him as your judge. Oh, friend, this morning, make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that you'll look through this portion of Genesis. There's many more times that Joseph's life typifies the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that this will be a blessing to you. I wonder if we turn in closing to the hymn.